In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. The theme for our Advent midweeks and devotions this year is the last things. This could be the theme for any Advent in any year, as Advent is a time of preparation for our Lord's coming. Not just his coming as the Son born in Bethlehem, but his coming in glory on the last day. Nevertheless, it seems very appropriate that we should be thinking about last things in the year 2020. For we've all lived through a year that many have described as apocalyptic. We've all endured many things that seem to indicate the end of creation. Not just a global pandemic and the subsequent governmental enforced lockdowns and closures, but many natural disasters like wildfires and hurricanes. We've seen social unrest and destructive riots. We've even had murder hornets. Yes, it seems now, maybe more than ever, that we are living in the end times. But we should not think that the end times began this year because of all the calamities we are suffering. In reality, the world has always teetered on the edge of catastrophe. A century ago, our world was going through another, more deadly pandemic, while at the same time engaged in a world war. Before that, you have other natural disasters, volcanoes, for example, causing famines across the globe. You've seen far more deadly social unrest throughout history, revolutions that have caused the deaths of countless people. You've had other diseases like the plague ravaging societies. Yes, the catastrophes that we are going through now are not new. They've been around for many, many years. Jesus even speaks about them in our gospel lesson this evening when he says, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. These must take place, but the end is not yet." He speaks of natural disasters, earthquakes, and famines, but he says these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Yes, the world has been filled with catastrophe from the beginning, or at least from the fall into sin. In the beginning, we know God created the heavens and the earth, and his verdict on it all was very good. But when Adam disobeyed the Lord God, when he ate of the tree that he was commanded not to eat, when he sinned against God, creation was subsequently cursed. And so suffering, conflict, toil and tribulation, finally death, entered into what God created to be good, entered into this world because of Adam's trespass. And thus the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, being in bondage to corruption. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." While we do indeed live in the end times, yes, even now, these end times did not begin this year. The end times did not begin with COVID-19. The world has lived under the shadow of death from the time of Adam's fall. And yet, even in that same moment when God cursed creation on account of Adam's sin, God spoke a promise. God promised an offspring who would bruise the serpent's head, and in doing so would set creation free from its bondage to corruption, and that it might obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And so from that very moment, all of world history anticipated the fulfillment of God's promise, the promise of the offspring to come. And while the world waited, there were calamities. There were floods and famines, there were plagues and pestilences, there were wars and rumors of wars. But in the fullness of time, God kept his promise. In the fullness of time, God sent forth the offspring, his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. This promised offspring, who came at the right time appointed by God, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He kept the law perfectly on our behalf, the righteous Son of God for us unrighteous sons of Adam. He redeemed us who were under the law. He satisfied the law's righteous demand for punishment. He shed his blood on the cross to make atonement for all our transgressions. He destroyed the works of the devil once and for all. And his verdict on the cross, his final words spoken before he took his last breath, "It is finished." Finished. And it was. For Jesus had fulfilled every righteous command in God's law without one error, without one mistake, without one moment of neglect. That was finished. Moreover, Jesus had made full payment for our trespasses. He won the entirety of our salvation by shedding his precious blood on the cross. That too, that atonement, that forgiveness, was finished on the cross. And he had fulfilled all that was spoken of him in the Old Testament by the patriarchs and prophets. Everything that was foretold of the Messiah, Jesus had done. That too was finished. It is finished. Jesus' word from the cross. And so by his own verdict, the end times had begun. It began with his death and resurrection and ascension. There was nothing left to do to earn our salvation. He did it all for us on the cross. Nothing left to do to keep God's promise of the offspring. He had bruised the serpent's head. Our salvation, accomplished by Jesus Christ, his suffering, death, and resurrection, was and is and ever shall be finished. His word endures forever. And so, according to our Lord Jesus, we truly live in the end times. Again, they didn't just begin this year with the calamities we have faced. We have been living in them ever since his ascension. We are living in them right now. And again, we know this, not because of the wars and the rumors of wars. Those predate our Lord Jesus Christ. There's been bloodshed ever since Cain slew Abel. Not because of natural disasters. Those too go back to the beginning with the flood. These things in and of themselves are not signs of the end, though they do testify to a creation that is in bondage to sin, awaiting freedom. But we know this from God's word. We know that we live in the end times because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has said and done, because of what he has foretold and what has happened. As we heard in our gospel lesson this evening, the temple has been destroyed. Jesus said this would take place in the end, and so it was. Not one stone upon another will be left. Rather, they will be thrown down, says Jesus. And so it was. In the year 70 AD, the Roman armies besieged Jerusalem, leveled it flat to the ground. That included the temple in fulfillment of Jesus' own word. The abomination of desolation stood where he ought not to be, according to our Lord Jesus Christ. That too happened when the Roman armies desecrated the temple by erecting idols and by installing a sham high priest in contradiction to God's own will. And yet, while these are indeed signs of the end which have come, we also recognize that the temple was no longer necessary. A greater sacrifice than that of bulls and goats was offered. A once and for all sacrifice offered by our great high priest, who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let the temple be leveled. We have no need of its altar, for we have a greater altar. The altar at which our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified and risen, serves. Jesus gives us another sign of the end that is being fulfilled, and that is the gospel is being proclaimed to all nations. The word of God has gone forth from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the very ends of the earth, according to Jesus. And so it has been. Throughout the centuries, across the lands, the gospel has been proclaimed. It has been proclaimed even to us. We have been saved through this gospel, this good news. The book of Hebrews says, in its first chapter, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Again, this is how we may know that we live in the last days. Not because of wars and rumors of wars, necessarily, or pandemics, but rather because we have God's Word. God speaks to us now through his Son, through the Word of his Son, which is the Holy Scriptures. When we gather together in his holy house to hear the Word of God as it is read and preached, when we read the Word of God at home and with our families, there God speaks. He speaks in his Word, speaking to us through his Son, as he's promised to do in these latter days. Yes, we who live in these last days have the Word of God proclaimed to us. It delivers to us that completed salvation, the free and full forgiveness won for us by Jesus Christ on the cross. Finally, we might also know that we live in the last times because false teachers trouble the church. This is recorded for us in the book of Jude, as we heard this evening. The apostles themselves predicted, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. This is what Jesus himself said also. See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard, I have told you all things beforehand. False teachers, the false doctrine that besets us, testifies to the fact that we are living in the end times. This, however, also goes back to the beginning, back to the fall of Adam, and even earlier, to the fall of the angels, Satan himself. Jude speaks of several examples of this in our scripture today. Satan and the demons did not stay within their own position of authority, but they left their proper dwelling. The children of Israel, who were saved by Jesus from slavery, grumbled against God because of what they suffered. Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities indulged in immorality and pursued unnatural desires. Cain was angry at his brother and killed him. Balaam was willing to curse the people of God for the sake of selfish gain. Korah led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, against the Lord, that is, rejecting his institution. We have seen these errors, these heresies, these destructive teachings from the beginning. But they are with us now, as our Lord warned us. They are with us in these last days. There are those who covet the authority and power of God himself, seeking to place themselves upon the throne of God and to speak authoritatively as the head of the church. We Lutherans most notably identify this in the papacy. There are also those who do not trust in God. They grumble against him because of the sufferings they endure. How many does that describe this year especially? There are those who, in the name of Jesus, practice unrighteousness and give approval to those who practice unrighteousness. There are those who are angry with their fellow Christians, calling them fools, murdering them in their thoughts and words. There are preachers who are greedy for selfish gain. They pursue earthly wealth and pleasure and honor above all things. There are Christians who reject what God has instituted. For example, the office of the holy ministry, or perhaps that particular man God has called to serve in it, thinking their own structures, their own authorities, their own ideas are better. Of such people, Jude writes rather vividly, they are hidden reefs, they're shepherds feeding themselves, There are waterless clouds, fruitless trees, wild waves, wandering stars, grumblers, malcontents, loudmouthed boasters. If anything, this should trouble us. We should be far more troubled by the apostasy in the Christian church in these latter days than we should be by any virus or any destruction or even by death itself. Yes, in these latter days, we have been warned. There will be those who compromise the truth of God's word with the world and its ideas. There are those who will set aside the cross for self-promotion and greedy gain. There will be those who set aside the foolishness of God's word for the wisdom of man, even in part. When we see this, we may know, according to Jesus' own word, that we are nearing the end. But even in the face of all of this, we need not be afraid. We need not worry. For the word of Jesus Christ, which stands forever, even as heaven and earth pass away, the words of Jesus Christ still stand. It is finished. We live in the end times because Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. The work of our salvation is accomplished for us. The gospel has been proclaimed to all nations and to you. The good news of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for your salvation. And by the preaching of the gospel, the work of Jesus is delivered to you for your own good. And by the same word of the cross, we are strengthened, emboldened to contend for the faith as Jude once did. That same faith that was once delivered to all the saints. To rebuke those who would teach falsehood. To stand even in the face of death and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Granted such boldness and confidence in God's word, even as the world itself is ending around us, because nothing, no disease, no government, no violence, not even the most perverse lies of hell, nothing can overcome God's word. Yes, it is true that we are living in the end times. And so in these latter days in which we now live, let us heed the admonition of St. Jude. Let us take to heart what he calls us to do as Christians. He calls us to keep ourselves in the love of God. We do this by building ourselves up in the most holy faith, that is, by hearing God's word and receiving the sacrament. As we see trial and tribulation all around us in the world, the temptation is to let one's love grow cold, to stay away from church, to stay away from the life-giving word of God and sacrament. But do not let that happen. Build yourself up in your most holy faith by receiving the means of grace, by coming to church. This is also done by praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer, both individually at home and together as God's people, even as our Lord has taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." And by waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. That is, by setting aside any and all trust in ourselves, in our own reason or strength, merit or effort, and believing in Jesus Christ alone, trusting that we have received God's favor through his suffering and death, and thus we are assured of eternal life. And along with this, along with staying in the love of God, we are also called to have mercy on others, and even to save others. That is, as we have been forgiven our trespasses, we Christians are called to forgive those who trespass against us. This doesn't mean that we are to tolerate or ignore sin or error or false belief or heresy. Jude says we are to hate even the garment stained by the flesh. We shouldn't embrace it. We shouldn't try to scrub it clean. We shouldn't try to look the other way. We should hate such sins. At the same time, we should correct and forgive those who have stumbled. Jude says we should snatch them out of the fire. We don't look down our nose at those who have fallen. We don't bear a grudge. We don't count the cost. As we have been forgiven, we forgive. As we have received mercy, we show mercy. As Christ has delivered us, so we share the love and mercy of Christ with others. Again, this message is good for all time, even apart from the catastrophes of 2020. But in this year, as we see so many things going wrong around us, let us remember that the end times are upon us. Not just in this year, but ever since Christ declared it is finished. And those end times that began so long ago will indeed be brought to an end when our Lord Jesus Christ fulfills his final promise once more and comes on the clouds with power and great glory, that we might dwell with him forever. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Please stand.